But we're getting along in the book pretty well, I guess, and we're up to the 10th chapter, Romans chapter 10. And so we'll begin with Romans chapter 10, and I'll read at least the first 13 verses of Romans chapter 10. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, here is a wonderful passage, of course, which has that great message in it concerning how one might come to true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and one might know the true righteousness of God by faith. And so Paul begins in this chapter with some burden of his own heart, saying, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And so we begin by seeing the burden of the Apostle Paul for his own brethren, and realizing that burden which he had for his own brethren. He says, For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Of course, the knowledge that he is talking about is the knowledge which is received from God and from the divine oracles, from the holy scriptures, if you will. For Israel alone was given those divine oracles, those oracles of God. The Mosaic Law came through Moses to the people of Israel, the people of God, that they might know how they were to live and to communicate even with God the Father, and that God might instruct them in all righteousness, and that the law may be what they would live by. As we note that in verse 5, he says, For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. And so God did give the law to Moses, that the people of God might know how they were to live by them. But the righteousness of God did not come by the law. And so we find that though the law was righteous, it was not meant to save. It was meant to live by, that they might have a right view of God, and that they might have the true knowledge of God. Now, did the Old Testament contain the knowledge of God that should lead them unto salvation? Yes, the Old Testament did. That is, the Testament, which was of the covenant of Moses, did have that knowledge which was to lead them unto salvation. But Israel did not hear or listen, as it were, by faith to those things. Though we find that Abraham, the father of the people of God, did listen, and that he believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness sake. And so as much as Paul had this great burden for his people, he knew that they did not have a knowledge of God, which was a right knowledge. But he says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." In verse 3, he says, "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Well, I guess that is the question, isn't it? Can one go about to believe the word of God? Can one line themselves up in some way with the Holy Scriptures and believe that they are right and still not attain the righteousness of God, which is by faith? And of course the answer is yes, they can. Many people are very religious people. Many people have the knowledge of God, but the knowledge of God is somehow flawed in that they still do not have that sense of the righteousness of God, which is by faith. And Israel had fallen into this pattern of doing and not believing. And so we find that the law, as much as it was holy and righteous in all that was given to the people of Israel, still they did not follow the word of God and believe in the Lord as their true and only Savior. But we find that upon many occasions did they stray from the very word of God. And they sought to go about to establish their own righteousness. And again, we see many today who are going about to establish their own righteousness. And not only the Jew, of course, but there are many people in the world who go about to establish their own righteousness through their own particular brand of religion, or their own particular brand of doing things, which they believe is going to somehow get them to where they desire to go. But we find that the second thing that we see here in this passage is that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. In this sense, that Christ is the fulfillment of the law for righteousness. The law was good in all that it contained. And it pointed to Christ, because Christ was to come in the fullness of time, born of a virgin. And of course the prophets of old did speak of the coming promised seed. And Abraham himself looked to God and believed God, that God would provide a promised seed, a seed that would bring forth the Messiah, the promised one of God. And that the very covenant to which God had promised Abraham would come to pass based upon God's word. And that God alone, through his unilateral covenant with Abraham, would bring forth one who would be the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so as we look at verse 4 here, it is the second point to which we want to refer to this afternoon, is that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness' sake. And so it begins in verse 4, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." And so as much as Moses gave the law, we find that the righteousness of God would come through Jesus Christ. It would not come through the law. It would come through Jesus Christ. And so we find that the end of the law would be through Christ. That is, the fulfillment of the law should be through Christ. And so in verse 6, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven?" Or let us just drop down to verse 7 again. "Or who shall descend into the deep? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the righteousness of faith which we preach." And so Paul had to point his own people to this wonderful truth that the righteousness of God is by faith through Jesus Christ. And that they should realize that it would not come by the law, but it would come by the righteousness of God by faith. Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness' sake, so we find that men such as Noah also walked in the grace of God, and that the grace of God was with him, even as Job himself also believed in God and said, upon the earth again I shall stand, realizing that God himself would resurrect him, and that such men as these were men who believed in the righteousness of God, even though Christ himself had not yet come. They believed in the righteousness which was of God. And so we find that this message which Paul preaches here is one which he takes from the Holy Writ itself, that God's righteousness would come by faith, but it would come by the one who would be the fulfillment of the law itself, and that is Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. To every one that believeth. And so it is that Paul now points them to this great and wonderful truth that one must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, who was given in the very fulfillment of the law. And so in verse 8, for what saith it, what saith the scriptures, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. And so what is the word which we preach but the word of faith? Now what do we mean by that? Well, we mean that the righteousness of God comes by faith. And so the word of God itself points one not to the law, but to Christ. And Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. He that is the fulfillment of the law for righteousness. And so he is that word of faith which we preach. And so in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And so in Christ we find the coming of the very living word of God manifest through the incarnation of the Son of God. For in the fullness of time, God sent forth his only begotten Son. Well, as we turn back to John chapter 1 again, let's turn back there just for a moment. For there's a couple of things that is good to point out here concerning Christ, that Christ is called the Word of God. In verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so as much as Christ is the fulfillment of the law for righteousness' sake, that Christ came in the very fulfillment of the Word of God, and that he is called the Word of God itself. And then the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And so as much as Christ is the pre-incarnate Christ, that is, he was in the beginning with God the Father, so he did come into the world, and there was not anything made that was made except through the Godhead. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so in Christ is not only the living Word, but it is the life of God, as Christ is pre-incarnate with God. And we find that that light which shineth unto the world, even Christ himself, is that one which came to bear name and testimony to God the Father, and to this great truth that Christ should come, that the anointed should come, and in his coming that he would redeem the world. And then we, as we look at verse 9 of the same chapter in John, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Therefore, again, did Christ show himself to be that one who came from God the Father. And verse 14, of course, becomes the pivotal verse here. And the Word was made flesh, that very Word which was in the beginning with God, that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Though these words come upon our hearts quite suddenly, and we realize that they are words that we are familiar with, yet they are words which cannot be expressed in just a few sentences. That is, it speaks of the incarnation of the very Son of God. That God, who came into the world and made himself flesh, is also the God that was in the beginning. And that God, who was in the beginning, created all things. And that all things being created by him, Jesus Christ came into this world. The very Son of God came from the Father and held this priority relationship with God the Father as the only begotten of the Father. And so there was no beginning with God the Son. But that he came in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, to reveal himself as the incarnate Christ, full of grace and truth. And so the grace and truth, which is of Jesus Christ, is that knowledge which the Jews themselves neglected. And they did not have that knowledge which was unto righteousness. If they did, they would have known Christ when he came. But we find that the righteousness of God is by faith through Jesus Christ. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In Romans 10:4. So let's refer again back to Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? What saith the very word of God? What saith the righteousness of God, which is by faith through Christ? And this is what it says. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now again, these words come most familiar to us. But the third thing that we need to see here is not only that Paul had a great burden for his people, and that burden led him to minister to them and to preach Christ to them, but that he must tell them also that Christ himself was the fulfillment of the law for righteousness. And telling them that he was the fulfillment of the law for righteousness, he must tell them also that the law itself would not produce righteousness, but that righteousness must come alone through Christ. And that they could not do anything to obtain it but to believe the very word of God that God had given to them through the holy oracles of God, through the law and the prophets, that the righteousness of God was revealed unto them. And it was in their heart to believe these things. That is, God had placed it within man to believe, that man might listen to the very word of God and hear. For we understand that in Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the very word of God. Saying that if thou shalt confess in thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And so this very wonderful and miraculous truth of God, which came through the fulfillment of the law in Christ, by the very incarnate Christ himself, wherein Christ came in the fullness of time, born of a virgin, we find that this message of Christ, this very word of God which we preach, is that word which saves. And so Paul desired, thirdly, to see his people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ by faith. And that is the same message, by the way, which we preach today. We preach salvation through Christ alone. We preach salvation because the very Word of God is that message of salvation to all who would hear. And that the Word of God is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. In verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so we understand that the heart of man, that part of man which is made to be responsive to the very word of God and the will of God, if one will respond in faith to the message of Christ, then one may be saved by the very word of God. For Christ has come and is revealed as the Savior unto men. In verse 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And so here again, the word of God is that which shall reveal the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the scripture makes these things clear, that we who believe are not ashamed when we believe the very word of God. We turn back to Isaiah 28 and verse 16 in particular to show this, that therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be confounded, or as it says, shall not make haste, shall not believe in vain. But we find that the very word of God, that foundation stone laid by Christ, is that foundation stone of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the very word of God. And so this third area that the apostle brings out reveals that man, if he will believe in his heart and confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And for the scripture saith this, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed or confounded. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. And of course, this seems to be, again, a reference to what Paul has already said here in the scripture, wherein he points out in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So none being excluded, the Jew or the Greek, the righteousness of God is by faith. And the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As far as the universal call of God is concerned, there is no limitation. God means for this message to be given universally. God means for his word to go out throughout the whole world. Even as he told his own disciples, from Judea to Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world, and that they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Of course, that call upon the name of the Lord becomes more specific to those who believe in their heart and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it cannot be a false belief, nor can it be a zeal only, but it must be a zeal according to knowledge. That is, they must realize who the Lord Jesus Christ is, the very Son of God, the one who came from the beginning, the one who is the Word of God, the one who was given for our salvation, the one who has died for our sins according to the Scriptures, the one who was buried and rose again on the third day, the one who ascended to the right hand of the Father, the one who was victorious over sin and death, the one who has defeated death itself and taken the sting of death away, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so Christ is that one who is preached, and him alone. There is no other Savior revealed unto the world. There is no other name given whereby we must be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us pray. Loving Father, we thank you for your message to us this afternoon. May we have such a burden for the world around us to preach Christ unto them. Lord, may you give us also a true sense of Christ, and that Christ is the fulfillment of the law for righteousness' sake, that only through him and him alone is there salvation. And may we also point them to Christ, realizing that Christ is the one who came in the fulfillment of the Scriptures and in the fullness of time born of a virgin. And may we realize that that message of Christ, that message of the Word of God, is nigh unto us, even in our mouth, the Word which we preach, and that we must preach Christ, and we must tell men and women to repent and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and to confess with their mouth and believe in their heart the Lord Jesus, and that that Jesus is the Jesus of the Scripture, which is revealed in the very Word of God. And I pray, Lord, let us also speak freely to all. Let us tell them as universally as Christ desires for us to tell them, and let us let the Lord draw them unto himself. Thank you, Father, for your love and grace and mercies to us. We commit these things to you in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and for your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.